We're glad you're here today. We're in Philippians chapter 1, and I want to continue our series in verses 12 through 18. Let's stand together as we read the word this morning. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. And I want to preach on this subject, my chains, understanding which ones are really gone. My chains, understanding which ones are really gone. Philippians 1, 12 through 18. And the scripture says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Paul is in prison. His Philippian brothers, the church he planted, is concerned about him. Epaphroditus is sent. He's writing back. He says, I want you to know that everything that's happened to me has been to advance the gospel, so that, verse 13, it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Let's pray together this morning. Father, help us to see through the eyes of your kingdom this morning. May we see clearly, Lord, as the Holy Spirit guides us to understand your truth from your word. How we can understand our situations in a kingdom perspective. How we can see things from your point of view. And Lord, to understand truly what it means to be chained to Christ and set free from sin. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. There's just some things that fit. You know what I'm saying? Like there's just certain clothes that fit. You know, like everybody has that pair of jeans. You know what I'm talking about? There's just that pair of jeans that fit. And then there's that pair of jeans that you just kind of have to lay down flat on the bed and get them on. You know what I'm saying? We all have some of those jeans. We all have those shirts that kind of just, you know, this kind of fall right. They feel good. Guys, you ever had your wife clean out your drawers? You know what I'm saying? Dresser drawers. You know what I'm talking about? You ever had your wife do that? Like you walk in like, where's my clothes at? You know what I mean? Like, where's my shirt? This is my shirt. That's happened sometimes. Like you go in and like, you got a couple of shirts with some holes in it. That's okay. I'm just trying to be holy, you know? And maybe there might be a little, some stains going on, but it's a good fit shirt. There's just some clothes that we have in our, they just kind of fit. There's things in our life that seem to go together. And there's things in our life that don't seem to go together. And I want you to understand, 19 to 25 times in this book, Paul uses the phrase rejoice and joy and peace and all those concepts, but it doesn't seem to fit. You want to know why? Let's turn the house lights down. I want you to see a picture of where the Apostle Paul, we believe, was writing this book from. This is what we believe to be the prison cell that Paul was in. Doesn't look like a Hilton, does it? Or a Hampton Inn. There's no hot tub. There's no pool. There's no service. What you get to check in a reservation here is a beating and a flogging and a mocking and punishment for preaching the gospel. That's exactly where we believe Paul was. Many scholars and theologians believe that there in Philippi, if you were to go there today, you would have seen a street. And what would happen is, as Paul was thrown down there in prison, they didn't even give him enough courtesy to put him eye level with people. They put him below the people. And they dug this cell, and that's where he was thrown into. And we believe this is where he wrote, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the book of Philippians. Doesn't seem to fit how he can be in that situation for a couple of years to talk about the things that he's saying. And I'm here to encourage you this morning that it doesn't matter where we find ourselves in a situation that seems dark and dim and hopeless, that Christ is always there. He's always with us. Paul finds himself here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit writing the book of Philippians. How can you and I have the mind that Christ, that Paul had? You see, all throughout the book, the woven, the single mind, the focused mind, the mind of Christ. And I believe it takes a special mindset to be in these kind of situations to let the Lord work through your heart and life and to write the things that Paul writes from this place. You turn the lights back up. Paul says here that our chains are gone from sin, But write down Romans chapter 6, verse 18. And the Bible says, "Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living." And we sing that song. It's a good song. It's one of my favorites, that "Amazing Grace, my chains are gone. I've been set free." And yes, our chains from sin have been set free. We don't have to sin. Do you know that today? You and I don't have to sin. Jesus has set us free from that. Amen? He's set us from that. We don't have to gossip. You choose to gossip. You choose to listen to gossip. You don't have to. You choose to sin. You and I choose to disobey. You and I choose to turn from the Lord. You and I don't have to do those things, but we choose to do those things. God does not make you put the hammer down on your car and speed limit. It doesn't have to do that. Don't say that God made you do that. We choose to break the law and break the speed limit. We choose to do those things. I love what Claude Cranford once said. He said in his book, Because We Love Him, he said that when we sin, at that moment, we choose to love that sin more than we love our God. We have to understand biblically who we are in Christ, and that when we sin, we are choosing to sin and to love that sin more than we love our God. And so the Bible says clearly in Romans 6, Paul says that we have been set free from our slavery to sin, but he does say that as we've been transferred from death to life, from that darkness to the light, that we have been transferred. We are no longer slaves to sin, but we have become a slave to a perfect master. We are now slaves to righteous living, and you and I have been called to work and to serve in the kingdom of God and see everything from God's perspective. Jesus has set us free. Is there anybody here who's happy that Jesus Christ has set you free? You're no longer sin. You're bound to Christ, and he is your perfect master. And here, this is Paul's mindset. This is a single focus that you and I have to have and understand that, yes, our chains have gone. Yes, our chains have been set free, but the chains of sin have been set free, but we are chained to Christ. We are slaves to righteousness because he has bought us and he has paid for us, and we are his and he is ours. And Paul says here, there's some things that just don't seem to fit. As you live your life as a Christian, as you walk on the college campus, as you walk on the high school, as you walk into your job, as you do these things, the way that you're going to live is going to be countercultural as a Christian to what people think. Jesus said, love your enemies. It doesn't make sense to the world. It says to bless those that curse you. It doesn't make sense to the world. Jesus said the way up is down and the way down is up. It's an upside down living kind of place. When you humble yourself, God will exalt you. If you walk in pride, he will lower you. The kingdom of God is different than anything you and I have seen in this world. And as a Christian, we must submit ourselves to the word of God and understand that there will be times, there will be situations in our life that just don't seem to fit. How can you be in a prison cell in that situation as they're walking by making fun of him, as they're probably spitting at him, throwing things in there? He says, rejoice. Rejoice. Find joy in Christ. It doesn't seem to fit, but then again, it does. I want to share with you three things this morning about how you and I can understand our perfect master. And no matter what we find ourselves in, we can see it from the kingdom point of view. Number one, I want you to see Paul's outlook. Look at verse 12. I see his outlook. He says, I want you to know, brothers, that what's happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. That's incredible what he's saying. The Philippian church, they're so worried about him. They love him. Why? Because God used him to plant the church. He was the church planting pastor, and then he planted the church, and then he moved on. And the Philippian church loved Paul, and Paul loved the Philippian church. They had such an incredible relationship, so special. And yes, they had their issues and they had their problems, but they were a special church. They were a generous church and a giving church. And when they found out that their pastor, their church planter, even though he was no longer there in the local level, that he was in trouble, they began to get worried. They began to get fearful in their heart and think, Paul, what's happening to you? People are saying things about you and they're beating you and they're doing these things to you. And Paul writes back and he sends it back through Epaphroditus. And this is what he says. He goes, this is my outlook. This is my outlook. I want you to know, church, the Philippian church, brothers, that what's happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. He sees everything from a different perspective. everything different. How do you see your life and your situations? Do you see it from your perspective, or do you see it from God's point of view? He says, I want you to know this. It's all happened to serve as an advance. That word advance is a military term. It means to go in, and it has the idea of a commander going before his troops and kind of paving the way and doing those things. What is God calling you to today to pioneer? Maybe, just maybe, there's someone in this crowd today, God's calling you to step out and step up in faith and pioneer something. What is it that God's calling you? Maybe to go from sitting in your seat to serving in the field and serving in the kingdom. Pastor James here, he says serving in the children's area. That's the kingdom you need to be serving in, right? What are you doing to step up and to serve? What is God calling you to pioneer and to cut a new way? What is it? What do you fear today? What are you afraid of? There's nothing to fear. Timothy had a timid spirit, and Paul said, we're not to have a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Where has God ever let you down? He never has. And guess what? He never will. Amen? He's always going to be there. And Paul says, this is my outlook. Don't feel sorry for me. Don't look bad upon. Don't worry about these things. He says, I want you to know this is happening to advance the gospel. Paul wanted to get to Rome as a preacher, but God said, no, you're going to go as a prisoner. Sometimes God shows up and messes up our plans, doesn't he? But sometimes those plans always are the best for us, aren't they? God knows what he's doing. Acts 19, 21, Paul said, afterward, I felt compelled by the Spirit to go to Macedonia and to Achaia before going to Jerusalem. And after that, he said, I must go on to Rome. He wanted to get to Rome. Romans 1:15, he said, I'm eager to come to you in Rome too to preach the good news. Paul wanted to get to Rome. He got to Rome, just not the way that he wanted. But he says, no matter what, this is my outlook. I'm going to see it from a kingdom perspective. He says, I want you to know that what's happened to me, what's happened to Paul? You know what's happened to Paul? Write down Acts 21 through Acts 28. This is what happened to Paul. I'm going to summarize 7 chapters for you really quick, all right? You can read this later on this afternoon. He says, I've been in prison. I have been harassed. I've been threatened. I've been shipwrecked. That's a bad day. He says, I've been falsely accused. Paul said, all these things have been happening in my life. From Acts 21 to Acts 28, all these things, he says, have served to advance the gospel. Write this quote down by Warren Wiersbe. Here's what he said. He said, you and I should rejoice at what God is going to do rather than complaining about what God did not do. Say it again. You and I should rejoice at what God is going to do rather than complaining about what God did not do. We have to have faith. So often, we get so caught up in this world's schemes. We get so distracted. We lose our focus so easily. It's just like the old song says, we're so prone to wander, and we're prone to leave the God that we love. And here, Paul says, you can't have that outlook. You can't wring your hands. Listen, God does not wring his hands. He's not up there worrying. When you and I are wringing our hands, we should be bending our knees. We should be praying. We should know that our God is in the heavens doing whatever he pleases. And here he said, this is my outlook. This is my focus. All these things has happened to me. I've been beaten. I've been shipwrecked. I've been harassed. I've been falsely accused. I've been thrown in prison. I've been flogged. All these things that have happened to me. Don't worry, church. I know you love me. But all these things are for the advancement of the gospel. A pioneer way, a new avenue of the kingdom of God has come. And all these things are for God's glory. What situation do you find yourself in today? Maybe God's calling you to pioneer something. Maybe God's not calling you to build on somebody else's foundation. He's calling you to pioneer a new ministry. Maybe he's calling you to do something that you've not done before, that you can't do on your own strength and your own wisdom and your own power, but the Lord through you can. That was Paul's outlook. He consecrated his chains. The Jews hated him. The Jews said, you don't go out and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Why do the Jews hate Paul? Because they said, you don't bring those people into our synagogues. That's what they said. We don't want those kind. Can I tell you here at Living Hope that anybody is welcome to come here and hear the gospel of Christ? Anybody here, amen? It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, as long as you're wearing clothes, we're good. Anybody is welcome to hear the gospel of Christ. The gospel is not for some, it's for all people. The Jews hated that. They hated him for it. They said, you don't bring those Gentiles into our temple. You defile our temple by what you're doing. And they hated Paul for it. For his preaching of the gospel. Paul was pioneering cities. He was doing things, advancing the gospel. Where are those kind of men today? Where are those pioneer people? Where's the women of God? Where's the men of God? Where's the faith among the people today to go step out and pioneer and do what God's calling you to do? Listen, I promise you, God, if he ordered, he will pay for it. And wherever God guides, he will provide. We have got to have more faith. Our faith must ever be increasing, never becoming complacent, never thinking we've arrived and be satisfied, but always have that spiritual edge to what God is calling us to do. That was Paul's outlook. He says, don't worry about me. Yeah, I'm in prison. Yeah, I'm getting beaten, but it's advancing the gospel. Number two, why? Because of his opportunity. I see his outlook and I see his opportunity. Look at verses 13 and 14. He says, listen, it's become known throughout the entire Imperial Guard. This Imperial Guard, these were the elitist. 10,000 were selected, handpicked by the Roman emperor to be guarded. Maybe they thought Paul knew ninjutsu. And always, I don't know what's going on, but they thought Paul was dangerous. He just had a Bible, but he knew the Lord. Can I tell you, if you have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, you're a dangerous person. You're a dangerous person full of the Holy Spirit of God. If you are full of the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God in you, you are a dangerous person. You are a threat to the enemy. Are you a threat today? Are you a threat to the enemy? Or does Satan just kind of like, they're so focused on themselves, they're really no threat. Are you a threat to the kingdom of God, or to the enemy today, to advance the kingdom of God? Paul said, this is my opportunity. It's become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard, 10,000 of the elite ones, to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. This is what's amazing. They thought they had Paul captive, and actually he had them as a captive audience. They thought that we're going to do something bad. No, they spread the gospel by putting him in prison. You know why? 10,000, they changed guards every 6 hours. So that's four guards a day, right? Yeah, four, six times, yeah. 24, right? Went to Memphis. So 24, and then they got through there. And that's 365 days a year. Someone in the first service did this. Was it Kit Kat? Somebody. It was 2000 something. I don't know. Somebody pull out an iPhone real quick. iPhone crowd. You get your iPhones out real quick and pull it out. Do, what was the number? 24 times 365 times 2. Hopefully you got that just now. How many people is that? There's no hope. There's no hope. What is that? What number is that? 17,000? Okay, adults. Okay, adults, iPhone, pull this out. Pull this out. Okay, four guards a day.
Times 365.
Times 365. Times 2. 2 years. 2 years in prison. Told you, sorry. What's that? 2,000 what? 2,920. So, you know, almost three. Thanks for your help, guys. Appreciate it. 3,000 guards. They were trying to confine the word of God, and Paul is chained to these Roman guards, and he's got 6 hours with the man. You guys got an hour in church. They got 6 hours of church next to Paul. Where's he going to go? Hey, man, you know Jesus? I don't care. What you going to do? Let me go? I mean, what are they going to do to Paul? They thought they were going to hold him captive, and he's got a captive audience. Paul said all these things that are happening are for the kingdom of God, and they're going to grow the kingdom. It's so much bigger than you and I think. Paul said all these things that are happening to me, they're trying to throw me in the stocks. They're trying to do all these things, and all they're getting is the gospel. I love it. That's how God operates. What an opportunity if you and I will just see our situation from God's perspective. And we get so down, we get so Eeyore mentality, thinking that everything's just so negative. And listen, misery loves company. Get happy in Christ. Anybody today? Get happy in Christ. Love Jesus. He loves you. He died for you. Yeah, things get tough. Yeah, we have bad days. Yeah, we have dry seasons. But listen, Christ is bigger than that. And he has defeated death, hell, and the grave. And there's a reason to get happy this morning because of Jesus. Paul says, this is my outlook and this is my opportunity. Yes, things look dark, but God is always faithful. And even though they're beating me, even though they're talking about me, even though they're saying all these things, the gospel will go forth. He says, this is my opportunity. He says, Philippian church, don't be mad. Don't be upset. Don't worry about me. What's happened to me is going to advance the gospel. It's become known throughout the entire guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Who's he talking about there at the end of verse 13? Write down Acts 28. You can read this later. He's talking about the Jewish leaders who are making fun of him and accusing him and hating his guts. He said, all these people know about my imprisonment. You know, getting thrown in jail is not good for your social status. It doesn't really trend well on Facebook and Twitter. Not really the greatest thing that people love to hear about. Oh yeah, you're the preacher who got thrown in prison for preaching the gospel. What's wrong with you? They all made fun of him. Paul had the Jews on him. He had the Romans hate him. He didn't have many friends back in the day. But he didn't get worried about that. He wasn't out to please man. Can I tell you, you will never be effective for Christ if all you do is try to please man. You can't do it. You can't do it. You cannot please God and man. It won't happen. You will always have your critics. I will have critics. I will always have critics of me. You will have critics of you. Every one of us will have our critics. There will always be cold water Christians who always see everything half empty and negative point of view. You can't change them. You're not responsible for them, but you are responsible for you and how you react and how you walk for the Lord and the kingdom of God. Paul said, this is my opportunity. He says in verse 14, most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. That word speak is not talking about preaching. It's not the word we get for preach. It's the word for everyday conversation. Paul said, all these people in Rome, you know the other benefit to what's happening to Paul? They're talking about Christianity. You and I, it's been 2,000 years. We're kind of used to it by now, right? They weren't used to it back in the day. This was a new thing on the scene. Paul said, as a Roman citizen, I want to go take my appeal before Caesar. And that's Acts 21 through 28, all those things that are happening. Paul wants to get to Rome. I don't care if it's as a prisoner. I want to go. Paul knew deep down, he was a smart man. He was a smart man, educated man, full of the Holy Spirit of God. Paul knew that if he could get to Rome, that then they were going to study this case of Christianity and the whole higher court was going to hear the gospel. Do you see it? He's getting to preach the gospel to every single person every 6 hours in his chains. And while he's in there doing that, the high officials of the Roman Empire are around studying the gospel of Christ. They're thinking, what is this Jesus about? Who is this Paul? Was he talking about being repenting of sins and putting faith in Jesus? They were trying to examine, was this man another section of the Jews that had broke off, or was it something brand new that was going to be a threat to the Roman Empire? And the whole time, they're all sitting around studying the case. I was on an airplane last week. This guy was coming from Chicago to Columbus, and he was a lawyer sitting beside me, and I began to share Christ with him and talk to him about the gospel. And, you know, airplanes are wonderful places to preach the gospel. Like, if this thing goes down, where are you going? You know, I'm going up. You know what I'm saying? This thing goes down, I'm going up. Where are you going? That's a really good conversation starter. Y'all try it, by the way. And so we were hanging out on the airplane, and he's like, well, I go to church, this and that. And I said, but do you know Christ? Do you know Jesus? And we struck up a conversation. He was coming here for a, he was a lawyer. He was coming here Christian lawyers do happen, by the way. They're very few, but they do happen. And so they were coming, he's coming here to do a trial case, and we were talking back and forth, and he had a stack of notes. I was like, dude, do you like know all that stuff? And he goes, I try. I'm like, good answer. You know, so he got all that stuff. And lawyers, they have to study and read all this stuff about the case. That's exactly what Paul was wanting to happen to the Roman Empire. They all had to study the case before he went to trial. He was getting the gospel out in his chains in prison, and he was getting the gospel out in the higher courts. That's why Paul said, this is turned out good. Don't think it's bad. It's good. It's serving to advance the gospel. Number three, and I'll close here. I see Paul's outlook, his opportunity, but lastly, I see his opposition. We're servants. We're slaves of Christ. We have to understand what that means, though. This past week, we were at my house, and my kids and I, my wife, we were playing Uno. You know, it's just the game that we do, and playing Uno and hanging out a little bit. And somewhere along the way, I don't remember how it got started, but my son looks at me and he goes, Dad, you got it so good. I'm like, really? What do you mean? He goes, you get to stay up late every night. You don't have a bedtime at all. I'm like, you have no idea how good you've got it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm looking for naps nowadays, you know? What are you talking about? He's like, you got it so good. He goes, you get to go to bed whenever you want. I'm like, yeah, it's good. He goes, and you get to go to bed with somebody. I'm alone in my bed and this and that and whatever. And, you know, and I'm like, yeah, that is a good benefit. You're right. That's a good thing. I agree with you on that one. And, but he was like, and then you have an awesome wife. You know, I was like, what do you want? You know, I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, and like, you got an awesome wife. And she serves you. She's like your servant. And I was like, oh, buddy. Oh, mama's eyes got big. And I was like, come on, let's go, 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 go. I was like, let me clarify. I was like, you didn't hear from me, did you? Let me clarify something real quick. Mommy is not my servant. She's a servant of the Lord, and she loves the Lord, and so she serves us. So let's clarify some things here. And we survived, and we finished the game, you know, a little bit later. But we have to understand that we're servants. We serve the Lord unconditionally. Our time, our treasure, our talent, everything belongs to him. Paul knew this. And you and I have got to know this morning, that we don't belong to ourselves. The moment we became Christians, we belong to him. Paul said, my outlook is different. My opportunities have changed. My opposition will be there. He says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, he says, there is a wide door open for a great work here, although many oppose me. I grow weary of hearing from other pastors talk about how they could fleece God's will because everything is just pie in the sky and just opens for them. I don't see that scripturally. I don't think I agree with that fully. I don't think everything is going to be pie in the sky and rosy for it to be God's will. Otherwise, Paul wasn't in God's will. Paul said, listen, there's a wide open door for a great work, but there are many that oppose me. Sometimes opposition is a good sign because you know the kingdom of God is advancing and there will be warfare. There will be opposition to the work of God. There will be the enemy of attacks. Sometimes they come from without. Sometimes they come from within, but they will come. Paul said, every opportunity also has opposition. He says, some preach Christ from envy and rivalry. That word rivalry is a political word in the Greek New Testament. It talks about those who behind the scenes kind of politic for votes. It talks about those who behind the scenes try to gather pockets of people and say things evil. Paul said here, they're doing that to me. These other preachers, we don't really know fully what they were doing, but most scholars all believe that these were other preachers, other people who were preaching Christ, but they weren't doing it. They weren't fully preaching the gospel for the kingdom of God. They were doing it to try to discredit Paul and his ministry. They were saying, this is the true gospel, not the way that Paul was preaching repentance. They were envious. They were jealous of the authority and the hand of God upon the Paul's ministry. That will happen. He said they preach from rivalry, selfish, vain conceit. He said, others do from goodwill. The latter do it from love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. Once again, we see a confident, sovereign hand of God upon Paul's mind. As he says, all these things are part of the plan, and they're advancing the gospel. Yes, they're out there trying to say things against me. Yes, they're being negative. Yes, they're trying to accuse me. But he says in verse 17, the former proclaimed Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. Paul said he's already been thrown in the stocks in prison, and they're trying to add insult on top of injury. They're making fun of him. They're accusing him when deep down they're jealous and they're envious and they're divisive. Paul says in verse 18 to the Philippian church, what shall I do? What shall I do? Do I go out and try to defend myself? Do I go out and try to make a huge ruckus? He says, no. Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. You see, Paul's confident, sovereign hand here in verse 18. He says, I don't care. They're out there preaching the gospel. They're out there doing these things. And yes, they're accusing me. They're making fun of me. But so what? The gospel is being proclaimed. Paul said, it's not about my kingdom. It's about God's kingdom. It's not about me. It's about him. And everything's about Jesus. And even if their motives are wrong, even if their ways are impure, even if they're selfish and envious, as long as Christ is proclaimed, he says, in that I rejoice. He didn't say in a circumstance, he said, in that truth that the gospel goes out, I rejoice. Paul said, your joy does not come from your circumstances and it does not come from your critics, but it comes from Christ. You and I have to understand the kingdom mindset today. That the way down is up, and the way up is down. And bless those that curse you, and love those that hate you, and live the kingdom life. Your life is not about you. It's about him. How's your outlook today? How is your opportunities? How is your opposition? How do you see everything from a kingdom perspective? Do you love him this morning? I mean, do you really love him? Church cannot do for you what only Christ can. And oftentimes I see people look to the church rather than looking to Christ. We should look to Christ. The church should look to Christ, a God-centered view of the gospel. You and I must fall in love with Jesus more and more each day. And we must see our situations from a kingdom perspective. The way up is down, and the way down is up. Bless those that curse you, love those that hate you. Humble yourself under the hand of God, and in due time, he will exalt you. It's the kingdom life. You and I have to see the kingdom life. It's the kingdom. And I don't know where you're at today. Yeah, I know you're not in a prison. I know you're not over there in Philippi under the ground for a couple of years. But some of you are in prison this morning spiritually. You're held captive. I did this in the first service. Is that a purse? Where's that? Is that a bag? That's cool. Can I have that real quick? I don't really know my stuff. Sorry, they change a lot. I don't carry purses, but you see this thing right here. Is there any gum in here? Okay, I need some gum if anybody wants to know. And there's lots of stuff in here. Now, what we do in church, this is what we do. Every Sunday, we carry in, I can't put this on my, it doesn't look good. I'll just say this, every Sunday, we come in here, and we sing our songs, we write our sermon notes, and we say, oh yeah, I'm going to lay it all down this day. I'm going to lay it down, I'm going to let it go. We put it here, but then you know what happens? We say amen, we walk out, go to lunch, we pick this up and carry it right back with us. We say we've let go. We say we've repented, but we're carrying it. It's time for some of you this morning to lay it down at the cross and leave it at the cross. It's time to stop carrying around this. Thank you, by the way. It's a nice little thing. You know, it's okay to understand biblically our sins have been forgiven, and you and I should live in that victorious living. A lot of Christians aren't living the victorious life. We're living in our past. We're living in our bondage. We're living in those things that Christ has set us free from. Paul said, as you're going to hear next week, to live is Christ and to die is gain. It's the kingdom life. Today, as we close the service, you need to ask the Lord right there in your seat to examine your heart. And ask the Lord to find out if there's anything in your life, any sin in your life that does not please him, any unconfessed, unrepented sin in your heart, and confess that sin and ask the Lord to forgive you of that sin. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Say all unrighteousness. It's time to do business with the Lord and to quit carrying around things you should be letting go of. It's time. Repent, turn, and move on. Christ has forgiven your sin. But can I ask you this morning, there's some of you here, you're not Christians. You come to church. You're a good person, but that doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is understanding that you're a sinner and that you cannot save yourself. And you see your sin for what it is, a holy offense to God, and you repent of that sin, you turn from that sin, and you ask the Lord for forgiveness, and he saves you. You ask him to save you, and he changes you spiritually from the inside out. And you walk with the Lord, and you spend time in his word, you spend time in prayer, you spend time fellowshipping with him. That's what it means to live the Christian life. You don't get that by just showing up to church and hanging out. It's the single mind. It's the mind of Christ. Yeah, it looked dark. Doesn't look pretty. It's a miserable situation. But even in the midst of that prison, he said, my chains are gone. I've been set free. And for whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I want to see everything from God's perspective. It's all advances the gospel. I don't know where you're at today, but God does. And I'm going to ask every head bowed and every eye closed as we close the service today. I'm going to ask you right there in your chair to spend time and ask this question, am I a Christian? I'm not asking you if you go to church. I'm not asking you if you're a member of this church. I'm asking you to ask the question, am I a Christian? Have I exchanged my sin for his salvation? Have I truly repented and put my faith in Christ alone? And if you've never done that, I invite you this morning to give your life to Jesus Christ, to call upon his name and ask him to save you. And by the authority of the word of God, if you will do that, and if you mean business, he will mean business with you, and he will come to your heart. He will save you, and he will change you. Can I ask you, Christian, as we close, do you love your enemies? Do you bless those that curse you? Are you humbling yourself? Or is God having to humble you? Do you see everything from the kingdom perspective? Your chains have been set free from sin, yes. But now you're a slave of righteousness. You're a slave to Christ. You go where he says go. You do what he says do. You and I are his servants. We are slaves to a perfect master. We're so prone to wonder. We're so prone to leave the God that we say we love. We're so distracted by the things of this world. Yeah, we love him here on Sunday during the service, but how about when you walk out of here? How about when the song is over, when the doors are shut and you get back in your car and you go? How about then? How about tomorrow? How about Wednesday afternoon? How about Friday night? How about Saturday night? Where's the love and the affection for Christ then? Let's humble ourselves today. Doesn't matter who's preaching. Doesn't matter who's singing. Doesn't matter who's sitting next to you, who's in front of you or behind you. Doesn't matter what you're facing this afternoon or tomorrow. What matters is Christ. Do you love him today? Are your affections for him and him alone? As we sing, let's ask the Lord to do a work in our hearts today. Father, this is your time. It's always your time. This is your church. It's your word. Speak to our hearts. Convict us this morning of sin. Lead us in the way of truth and righteousness. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.